O my Lord, the people of the world are embarrassed by all material anxieties. They are always afraid. They always try to protect wealth, body, and friends. They are filled with lamentation and unlawful desires and paraphernalia. And they avariciously base their undertakings on the perishable conception of my and mine. As long as they do not take shelter of your safe lotus feet, they are full of anxieties. Please repeat after me. O my Lord, the people of the world, please everyone, are embarrassed by all material anxieties. They are always afraid. They always try to protect wealth, body, and friends. And they are filled with lamentation and unlawful desires and paraphernalia. And they avariciously base their undertakings on the perishable conceptions of my and mine. As long as they do not take shelter of your safe lotus feet, they are full of anxieties. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. One may question how one can always think of the Lord in regard to His name, fame, quality, etc. If one is embarrassed by thoughts of family affairs, I'll repeat that again. If one may question how one can always think of the Lord in regard to His name, fame, quality, etc., if one is embarrassed by thoughts of family affairs. Everyone in the material world is full of thoughts about how to maintain his family, how to protect his wealth, how to keep pace with friends and relatives, etc. Thus, he is always in fear and lamentation, trying to keep up with the status quo. In answer to this question, this verse spoken by Brahma is very appropriate. A pure devotee of the Lord never thinks of himself as a proprietor of his home. He surrenders everything unto the supreme control of the Lord. And thus, he has no fear for maintaining his family or protecting the interests of his family. Because of this surrender, he no longer has any attraction for wealth. Even if there is attraction for wealth, it is not for sense enjoyment, but for the service of the Lord. A pure devotee may be attracted to accumulating wealth, just like an ordinary man. But the difference is that the devotee acquires money for the service of the Lord, whereas the ordinary man acquires money for sense enjoyment. Thus, the acquisition of wealth by a devotee is not a source of anxieties, as in the case of a worldly man. And because a pure devotee accepts everything in the sense of serving the Lord, the poisonous teeth of accumulation of wealth are extracted. If a snake has its poison removed and bites a man, there is no fatal effect. Similarly, wealth accumulated in the cause of the Lord has no poisonous teeth, and the effect is not fatal. A pure devotee is never entangled in material worldly affairs, even though he may remain in the world just like an ordinary man. And just repeat the verse. O my Lord, the people of this world are embarrassed by all material anxieties. They are always afraid. They always try to protect wealth, body, and friends. They are filled with lamentation and unlawful desires and paraphernalia. And they avariciously base their undertakings on the perishable conceptions of my and mine. As long as they do not take shelter of your safe lotus feet, they are full of anxieties. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. Om Ajñāna Timirandasya Jñānañjana Shalākaya. Please repeat after me if you know. Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmay Shri Guruve Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manopistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale. Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utapadakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha. Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunavitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sarbhutanam Parijana Saitam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Srila Prabhupada starts this purport by stating that many can question, one may question how one can always think of the Lord in regard to his name, fame, quality, etc., if one is embarrassed by the thoughts of family affairs. How many people in this room have thoughts about family affairs? Yeah, absolutely so. Yeah, it could be about an ailing parent, maybe some, or a child. It could be some unforgiveness matters. It may be about, well, here in this verse, it's about wealth. It could be anything. And so, of course, that's going to be a challenge for us. And it says here that the verse, Brahma says, "Oh my Lord, people of the world are embarrassed by material anxieties." So Brahma's created these beings, and he's very aware that as soon as the pure soul is covered by the false ego, you know, as soon as we enter into the Mahatattva, the false ego takes over, the intelligence becomes contaminated, and the mind becomes disturbed. So he's saying here that people are embarrassed by all material anxieties. But of course, when you go on social media, what does that show often? You know, I have a perfect life. I have a perfect world. I have a perfect, everything around me is perfect. Because that's what often social media does. It projects the idea of perfection. And of course, we all end up thinking and wanting hope and desires for everything to work out in life. But as Brahma says, you know, everyone is still afraid. May I just ask for some honesty here? Can you share what you're afraid of? Because there is nobody in this world who's not afraid of something. The devotees overcome fear, or they know how to overcome fear, but it doesn't always mean that it'll go away. So anyone... any thoughts? Yes, Prabhu.
I'd like to try
Yeah. Yeah, so it's the fear of unresolved matters. We don't want to die with heavy burden of unresolved issues or relationships or regrets, because it means we have to come back again and again and again to try and resolve them. And this world is the perfect place for us to know what is unresolved, what is challenging, what life shows up and it tells us the areas that we need to work out. So thank you for that. Anybody else? I really appreciate your honesty. Yes, Prabhu. You're afraid of not having association of devotees. Why is that, sir? So what you're saying is that we're safe in the association of the devotees. When we are in the association of devotees, we can discuss, remember Krishna, talk about the pastimes of Krishna. So that tells us that that's a very valuable resource and a gift that we have that we don't want to lose. So thank you for your share. Anybody else? Yes, sir. Yeah, disease in old age, because, you know, as we start getting older, we start thinking about, I can't get up as fast as I could in the morning, you know, leaping out of bed and the bones ache and everything aches, health issues, those sort of things. What else, sir? What is it specific for you? Yeah, yeah. Life becomes difficult, and it becomes miserable. Yes, and no matter how much wealth we have, we can't do anything about it. Well, I can also share one of my fears. It's about memory, and I thought that you know, I've seen my father-in-law, my great grandfather-in-law. In their 90s, having astute memory, and I'm in my 60s, and I can see that sometimes I'm forgetful, I can't remember, and I'm so afraid of that, that, you know, it's almost like, and of course, that we have to pray to Krishna, because from him remembrance and forgetfulness and all of these come. But yes, that's a real issue about old age. What else about old age? Rajan Prabhu. Thank you, Prajan. Well, I'm in the boat too. So you're saying, for those who are online, that you told of Damodar Prabhu, like, where's your meal? And you'd forgotten that it was actually it was fasting day. And these things happen. These things. I think with my children, sometimes I repeat myself, and I say to them, blah 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 blah, and go away. And I repeat it again, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, you already said that, mother, you know? So it's quite a scary time, actually, coming into old age. Often in the Indian tradition, we talk about, well, spiritual life, you know? That's for when you get older and when you retire and you've got more time to develop, you know, your relationship with Krishna. But actually, in Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada emphasizes time and time and time again, boys, no talking. Time and time again that, I forgot my trail of thought. There we go, I proved my point. Yeah, Prabhupada tells us time and time again that we must try and remember Krishna. If we don't remember Krishna, then we will be embarrassed by our material anxieties. Now, someone who's in the mode of ignorance isn't going to even feel any embarrassment. Why? Because they're completely covered by Maya. But if we have the ability to self-reflect within ourselves, then embarrassment is a good place for us as devotees. But of course, in the material world, people will be very embarrassed to share the dysfunctions. Even as devotees, we will sometimes be very scared to share our dysfunctions in life. But actually, the material world doesn't spare anyone. Just because you become a devotee, it doesn't mean life is going to be hunky-dory. But what you do have is the ability, with the association of the devotees, with Srila Prabhupada's books, Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, that somehow we can deal with things in a better way. Brahma is also saying here that they always try to protect their wealth, their body and their friends, and they're filled with lamentations and unlawful desires and paraphernalia. So when we, in the material world, everyone is trying to protect their wealth. When the stock shares go down, some people are so affected that they, it's like life and death for them. It's like, well, life isn't even worth existing, because having wealth is absolutely linked to their survival. That is the main consciousness, that if I don't work, if I don't take charge, if I don't take control, if I don't have enough, then I will perish. Again, with the body, we talked about that, some of our own real concerns. And then, of course, with friends, relationships. We're often, the most fundamental aspect of our existence is about relationship. And what I wanted to say to you is that because we've forsaken our relationship with Krishna, if we don't master that, then how can we even get our material relationships right? And I think that's a really important thing that we have to be thinking about, that how can I have all those relationships in my life, how can they go right? Well, they're not going to go right unless you've got Krishna at the center of it. Because, of course, understanding our relationship with Krishna helps us to understand ourselves. And if we understand ourselves better, then maybe we can give our relationships with other people a chance. So if we're trying to protect our wealth and body and friends, it's a disease. In the material world, it's actually a disease. If we don't recognize that we are trying to hold on to something, as Brahma says, avariciously, we base our undertakings on conceptions of I, me, and mine. So as long as we don't take shelter of the safe lotus feet of the Lord, we are full of anxieties. So this is the indication, isn't it? If you want to overcome anxiety, you want to overcome difficulties, you want to overcome challenges, you take shelter of the safe lotus feet of the Lord. So my question to all of you is, if we've got the microphone, what does the safe lotus feet mean to you? Is it a theoretical understanding or is it a practical understanding? Please enlighten each other on what it means to take shelter of the safe lotus feet of the Lord. Anybody? Yes, sir. It's a feeling.
Yeah, it's a feeling that you have when something goes right, or that you're in the right place. You know, like Prabhupada was saying about the association.
Okay.
And it's that feeling. You just have that comfort, security. You can't explain it. People go, what do you mean? Mm. So you just know.
Okay. Thank you. Yes. Pass it on, please. Thank you. Just there. Yeah.
For me personally, I believe we all have problems in life, and it's difficult sometimes to get away from them because they need to be dealt with. And by having lotus feet in your mind, I think it just the problem does not go away, but you deal differently. It doesn't really affect you, maybe how it would have affected you previously. So the problem doesn't go away at all. You still have to deal with them, but you have a more calmer mind, and you don't maybe take it deep and doesn't let you impact in the way maybe you would have impacted previously. So, yeah.
That's so me. What are you saying in your mind when those problems are there?
I believe now, though I have a few problems to deal with, but I feel that I have a safety net somewhere deep down.
Okay.
And I feel if it comes to the point where I can't handle a situation or a problem, I just, to be honest, I now surrender my problem to the to Lord. And I said, look, I can only do what I can do. The rest, I just leave it to you. And if it doesn't work, then it doesn't work.
Thank you. So what you're saying, sir, is that when there's difficulties and challenges come, you meditate on the Lord's... Are you saying you meditate on the Lord or the Lord's lotus feet?
Lotus feet, sorry, I meant, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Surrender right. to him, and I said, look,
surrender.
It's your problem.
Yeah.
If I may say so.
Yeah, and you're asking for shelter and protection.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, there's a keen gentleman here, and then we'll pass it on to the lady. It's okay, sir, you can do it, and then we'll pass it on to the Mataji's.
So, surrendered in the lotus feet gives strength. Strength to an anchored, being anchored, that any attachment or any attraction or any anger, or it will not carry me away. It won't entangle me into things. You can hold on here and you can let it pass. And there comes also forgiveness. So you forgive yourself, you forgive around everything. So that's how you stay in a place as long as you are there. You are not distracted.
Thank you. If we pass it on to the ladies.
Okay, for me, taking shelter of the Lord's lotus feet means that we try our best, but we depend on Krishna for the results. And we just surrender to Him, being detached from success or failure, whatever Krishna wants to give. I'm His eternal servant, and I will never give up my devotion to Him. So we just have faith that Krishna knows what's the best for us, and we keep on just doing our best to try to please Him. And whatever He gives us, we accept that.
Thank you. Who struggles to... did you want to say something? Would you like to say something? Have a go.
Yeah, the safe lotus feet of the Lord. A place to lay the problems, and also a place to gain some transcendence and detachment by sort of focusing in on the lotus feet of Krishna through Harikatha or Sankirtan or Prasadam. It gives me an ability to not be so caught up. So it's not just a theoretical laying down of problems, it's by doing the practices and being in association, one gains some transcendence, so one isn't so entangled. So for me, that's really, really useful, because otherwise I would be an emotional wreck. So I try and get as much association and Harikatha and Sankirtan as I can, and chanting to get that.
Thank you. Yes, Prajna Prabhu.
The nectar of instruction gives us a clear instruction, actually, about damage to our devotional service. It says, Adyahara prize cha prajalpo nimagraha janasangas cha lodium cha Sabdhir Bhaktir Vinishyati. It says one's devotional service becomes spoiled when it becomes too entangled in the following six activities. 1. Eating more than necessary and collecting more funds than required. Over-endeavouring for mundane things which are very difficult to obtain. Talking unnecessarily about mundane matters. Practicing the scriptural rules and regulations only for the sake of following them and not for the sake of spiritual advancement. Or rejecting the rules and regulations of the scriptures and working independently and whimsically. Whimsically is a fantastic word, because that's the mind wanders and thinking this and that, and then associating with worldly minding persons not interested in Krishna consciousness. That's a difficult one, you know, because the Sankirtan people are always facing that. You know, sorry, I'm all right, it's okay, I'm okay, thanks. And then being greedy for mundane achievements. That's an easy, that's definitely something to be afraid of. And it reminds me of David Bowie, when he was passing away. He says, "One day I thought I was king, now I have nothing." And he passed away. That was the last song he did. You know, so we just have to be the instructions here, and by examples of people like David Bowie.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Dharmachar Prabhu? If you don't mind passing there.
Yeah, there's one, for me, there's one verse that epitomizes it, is Ananyas Chintiyanto Mam Yeganam Puripasati, that. For those who have exclusive meditation on the lotus, on the my transcendental body, to them I carry what you lack and preserve what you have. So that it's a literal meditation on the Lord, even though the Lord's lotus feet symbolize everything in relation to the Lord. And that in every circumstance we can try and go deeper in that meditation in every situation.
Yeah, thank you for that. Shishiradha Gokulananda, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, Gornitai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So yes, surrendering to the lotus feet of the Lord is the highest form of devotion. It is about complete surrender, and as Damodara Prabhu said, it's that putting that prayer out that, my dear Lord, you know, I surrender to you. I can't handle this on my own, but you can help me. Your power is greater than mine. And, you know, when they were trying to have peace talks, and the Lord was resting. Duryodhan and Arjuna both went. Say Arjuna? It was Arjuna, not Yudhishthira. And Duryodhan went straight to the face of the Lord. You know, he kind of sat by the head of the Lord, whereas Arjuna was very much about being at by the lotus feet of the Lord. That gives us the indication that if we really want to overcome our suffering and our difficulties, then it's about letting go of our entitlement that I will get something, rather that the lotus feet of the Lord is about complete surrender. What is pleasing to you, my Lord? And then Srila Prabhupada says, a pure devotee of the Lord never thinks himself as the proprietor of his home. You know, in England, a home, you could actually give your whole life to buying a home. You could spend years and years and years trying to pay off a mortgage. Well, forget even the privilege of paying off a mortgage. Even thinking about putting a deposit down is almost impossible. So when a person acquires a property, they think it's mine. It's my place. It's my domain. You know, in the old days, we used to say an Englishman's home is his castle. And actually here, this is the inverse. Here it's saying the devotee never thinks he's a proprietor. The devotee of the Lord thinks this is the Lord's home, and it's an ashram, and everyone is welcome, and I'm here simply to serve them. So the devotee surrenders everything to the supreme control of the Lord, and thus he has no fear in maintaining his family. It's very hard to let go of fear of how I can take care of people, maintain them. And I think if we take it on ourselves absolutely and wholly and completely, then we start becoming controlling. Even if there's an attraction for wealth, this is really important because Prabhupada really wants to hit home a point to us, and it's about wealth. If there is attraction for wealth, and it isn't for sense enjoyment, but for the service of the Lord, that is different. So if we're seeking wealth for our own sense of safety, security, feeling I've got opulence, whatever is motivating us for wealth. Sometimes motivations for wealth could be also low self-esteem, trying to show the world, you know, look at me, I've made it, you know, I'm worthy. And yet, what it does is it entangles us. And Prabhupada describes it as a snake, a snake's poisonous fangs. that wealth will actually entangle us into a different trajectory of, well, doom and gloom, really. Whereas the devotee can collect, here Prabhupada says, can collect, but it's because it's for the Lord. So therefore, the poisonous effects of the fang don't affect the devotee. I wanted to share this book with you because it was a really lovely book that I found, and it's called Meditations on the Divine Markings of Srimati Radharani's Lotus Feet. But here it actually covers all the markings of the Lord and Srimati Radharani and what they represent. So let me just do a quick meditation with you. So just, well, the Lordships are here, so think of the Lord's lotus feet. And think of a prayer. My dear Lord, I'm going through this particular situation and I'm really struggling. It's beyond my control and I don't know how to resolve it. But your feet, my Lord, is the only sane, safe place for me to take shelter, because I can't do this alone. But by taking shelter of your lotus feet, I know that you will help me, protect me, and help me to understand. And I leave it to you to resolve this. And then we can also pray to the Lord, because his feet are like mountains, you know, they shatter the sins within our heart. So we pray that, my dear Lord, you know, if there are things that are getting in the way of my devotion to you, they're getting in the way to my surrender of you, to surrender to your lotus feet, things like irreligion, falsity, bluffing, cheating, lust, anger, greed, envy, hypocrisy, quarreling, harsh speech, fear, doubt, pain, insensitivity, lack of gratitude, whatever it is in that list, if there's something that comes up for you, surrender that to the Lord's lotus feet and ask for help to overcome it. And then the Lord's feet is the source of the Ganges. Yeah, purifies and cleanses us. And the Lord's lotus feet is the source of all knowledge. And we pray to the Lord, please give me knowledge and understanding and remembrance of you. Help me to always remember you, to never forget you, and at the time of death, please enable me to remember you. And then the Lord's lotus feet is the source of all happy rays of sunshine, joy and happiness. Just by taking shelter of the Lord's lotus feet, we can acquire that. So, so when the devotees of the Lord take shelter of the Lord's lotus feet, they're never misled by illusory energy. They will always remember they'll prepare for an outcome that is what Krishna wants. The devotees are never entrenched in material life. They detach from material life. They act like ordinary beings, but their view and their understanding of wealth is different. Those who are unable to deal with calamities, the devotee of the Lord is able to deal with calamities because they understand that everything that's happening to me, the unavoidable misfortune that I'm going through, is only for my purification. Prabhupada says that calamities are like, they're false. They're just like somebody who's going through a dream. They feel like they're being swallowed by a tiger and they're crying. And they think they're suffering, but when they wake up, they realize actually there was no tiger. And that is such of this material world. I had lots and lots of questions, lots of preparations, but I think it's really important to go by also what's coming up today. So today is Bhishma Ashtami, and it's the day Grandfather Bhishma passed away. Does anybody, do you all know who Grandfather Bhishma is? I can give you a quick summary. So he was one of the eight Vasus. He was the son of goddess Ganga and Maharaj Shantanu. His name was Devaprast, and he was heir to the throne of the whole world. And after his mother Ganga left, he facilitated his father's marriage to Satyavati, and she was the daughter of a fisherman. Maharaj Shantanu fell in love with this girl, and he just couldn't get her out of his mind. Devaprast found out that his father was very sad, he actually went to the fisherman and said, "Can I have your daughter's hand?" Shantanu asked the fisherman, and the fisherman said no. So when Devaprast found out his father was very unhappy, he actually then went to the fisherman. And the fisherman said, "Only my daughter's children will be heirs to the throne." And because Devaprast wanted his father to be happy, he vowed for lifelong celibacy. So he forsaked the throne of Hastinapur. One of the things that Grandfather Bhishma, he's lying down on the bed of arrows. He's considered one of the 12 Mahajans. And he sets exemplary examples for us of how to live in this world. On the deathbed of arrows, he exemplified perfect human behavior. The first thing he did was, can you imagine somebody with 58 days lying on a bed of arrows, he welcomes those who come to see him, to come to say goodbye to him. He pacifies the Pandavas, particularly Maharaj Yudhishthira, who's so beside himself at the thought of losing, very soon, imminently losing him. He expresses empathy. Can we express empathy when we're in pain? It's very, very difficult to express empathy for others because often it's about me, my pain. But Grandfather Bhishma is lying on this bed of arrows and he's not thinking about his difficulty or challenge. But instead he expresses his empathy and understanding for the Pandavas, what they went through, Queen Kunti. And then he gives them a lot of hope. And ultimately he then dedicates his feeling and willing and thinking on the lotus feet of the Lord, and therefore he surrenders in that way. Grandfather Bhishma gave some lessons. Don't be proud, be satisfied, never harbor resentment towards others, always honor women, steer clear of excessive male or female company, depending which gender you are. Happiness shouldn't come at the expense of dignity. So Grandfather Bhishma was absolutely proficient with political and general conduct. He navigated through quite complex stuff. So these are some of the teachings that he gave. It's very difficult sometimes to surrender to the lotus feet of the Lord. But there's two verses that I want to share with you. And they help us to remember that Krishna is completely in charge of what's happening. Yeah, we're not as helpless as we think. If we have complete faith that Krishna is taking care of us, then there is nothing to lament. The first verse is Krishna Vasudevaya Hare Paramatmane Pranat Klesh Nashaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Krishna is in everyone's heart. And he also, the kings pray that he vanquishes our suffering. The next verse is Krishna Vasudevaya Deviki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. So as we navigate through life, we want to remember that vision of Krishna who is loved by everybody in Vrindavan. And if we can develop that love, that's where we were once, then all these challenges and difficulties are just like a hoof's print in the sand, or you know, that we can cross the water that it lands in that hoof. Are there any questions? Well, that's wonderful. There's no questions. So time to have breakfast. Well, is it time to have breakfast?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay. Yes, you have a question. Sorry? Which book? Oh, yes. Oh, very good question. Yeah, so this book is called The Divine Markings of Srimati Radharani's Lotus Feet, and it's by a devotee called Jayadev Das. And basically what it does is it shows you a picture of the Lord's Lotus Feet and the different markings. And they've almost got identical markings, except Srimati Radharani's feet has got flowers. And then each marking has a meaning. So every morning when I wake up, I'll read this and I'll meditate on one aspect of the marking of the Lord's Lotus Feet and what it represents. So that way, it's a nice reminder for all of us when we're reading or chanting, or to start a meditation in the day with one item of paraphernalia on the Lord's Lotus Feet. Okay, yes, Damodar Prabhu.
My question is about the people of the world that are always, you know, were embarrassed by material anxieties and afraid and trying to protect wealth and so on. And I'm just wondering if that's still the same even for devotees, because we're still of this world as well. It's just that it's dovetailed for Krishna.
Yeah, it's a very good point, Damodar Prabhu. Well, only the devotee will know. Because as devotees, sometimes we don't want to be judged. The problem is if we're not able to share the challenges that we're going through, then of course there's no, you know, we hide it. And for a devotee, hiding our embarrassment or not working on it is a terrible thing. Because of course we're going to all go through it. But can we reveal our mind to somebody confidentially? Can we speak to somebody? But often we find that devotees don't always want to share what their challenges are, because there's a fear that, you know, I'm failing, I'm going to be judged. So yes, all devotees will at some point or another go through something, some challenge, some embarrassment. You know, so sometimes as devotees we think we should have the perfect marriage, the perfect child, the perfect home, the perfect environment. But, you know, sometimes these things don't happen. They're often not even in our own control. But if we're going through those challenges and things aren't working out the way we're hoping to, then we have to understand that Krishna wants, it's, you know, there's some purification going on for us. And therefore we surrender to the Lord with the hope that he will guide us. But if as devotees we think it's happening out there and not inside, then we are completely deluding ourselves. So thank you. That's a really great question. Yeah, I think as devotees, we should be doing more internal introspection on what our challenges are and what our attachments are. Ladies, any questions? No? Okay. Thank you so much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Vaishnavas ki jai.
Res Nandarane Mataji ki.